Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
And we bring in friend of the show, Chris Edor, friend of the station, and just all-around good guy, the Iron Man, when it comes to Twitter, who can take any criticism ever dealt, and he will give it right back to you. He is Chris Edor. Hi, Chris. How are you?
Good afternoon, guys. How are you?
We're
Hi,
good.
Chris.
Are you in the Edor bubble right now? I'm just curious.
I've been in the Edor bubble since, what, March at this point?
3 months.
I very rarely leave the Edor bubble. If I leave the Edor bubble, it's to pick up food for takeout, or it's to go to the grocery store or go for a hike or a run or something like that.
So the days of walking outside your house with a Sharpie to sign utility balls for your great kickball Hall of Fame career have diminished. Greatly,
sadly,
right?
Those are over, unfortunately.
Bummer. All right, just your thoughts on what this bubble's going to look like down in Orlando, because the details have been released. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think my first reaction when all of that came out was that it goes to show how much thought has gone into this process. You know, when it comes to this undertaking, it hasn't just been, okay, we need to play basketball no matter what the cost is. It's everything is detailed. Everything is organized. A lot of things have been thought through. And look, nobody is going to be completely happy with everything that they have to do when they go into this quote-unquote bubble. But the NBA is trying to do everything possible to make it safe and healthy for these guys, make it as entertaining for the fans, and make it so that we can complete a season here, which is a goal that I think a majority of people have at this point in time.
Chris, with everything that they're going to have to jump through, I mean, there are hoops like crazy here for mm-hmm. everybody involved. I wonder, A, are they going to be able to pull it off? And B, and I know there's the dollars are on the line, is it worth it, or should they have just said, hey, you know what, we're going to do this again next year. We'll see you, everybody.
I mean, I think it's worth it because there is so much at stake financially when it comes to the NBA. Look, they're going to lose revenue. Everybody understands that. That's the way that this is going to go. Nobody saw a pandemic coming, but they have to salvage some semblance of this thing, guys. They have to, because if they don't, then all of a sudden they're going into CBA negotiations. The salary cap's going to drop even further. The players are going to be impacted. So, no, I think it's something that they had to try and do if they could do it safely and respectfully. Plus, you've played already so much of the regular season. You've had these teams that have fought all season for playoff positioning or to get themselves in a title chase. Like, LeBron wants to play. Of course LeBron wants to play. He's on a team that has a realistic chance of winning this thing. There might be three or four teams that have a realistic chance of winning this thing, and the Lakers are one of them. So it makes sense that LeBron would want to play and the Lakers want to play and a team like the Bucks want to play. But I think there are enough other teams in the mix and enough other players in the mix that want to play as well, because they understand the huge stakes for everybody around the league.
Chris, let me throw this at you, and I want to talk about the coalition that doesn't want to go. And I think there are reasons, there are plenty of reasons why they're talking about not going, but there was a story that just broke like in the last hour coming out of Florida where Governor Ron DeSantis, this is on clickorlando.com, which is channel mm-hmm. 6 out of Orlando. Did you see the story?
Yep.
260 workers at the Orlando International Airport have tested positive for coronavirus after nearly 500 employees were tested. It makes you kind of shake your head about wanting to be in Orlando or having to go through the airport at Orlando. Although these guys travel private, although I don't know how they will get to their, how all those guys are all going to get to Orlando. But I mean, that's another kind of thing like, hey, should we really be going to Orlando?
Yeah, look, this is really, really difficult when it comes to the NBA. Trying to restart the league after so much time off in the middle of a pandemic is not easy. And like I said, I just think that they have gone through so many different options, and they've tried to do everything possible to try and make it as safe for these players. And I think if you have more cases in Florida and it seems like the numbers are going to continue to go up, guys, yeah, it's a greater chance that it sneaks into the NBA bubble or Major League Soccer, which is going down there.
Right.
I think it just means that you have to have stricter protocols. The things that the NBA have laid out for these guys, where, you know, you can't even have two guys playing ping pong at the same time. You can't have doubles in ping pong. You have to have singles. Like, they have thought through a lot of this stuff. And it doesn't mean that it's perfect. And it doesn't mean that there aren't going to be positive cases of coronavirus. Somebody is going to test positive, and it's going to impact the postseason somehow, some way. But that's a risk that I think the NBA is willing to take and needs to take. Because at some point, we all, the collective we, are going to have to learn how to live with this particular virus. And I think one of the steps in doing that is taking a chance like the NBA is taking and not succumbing to a virus and giving up.
See, I agree with you on that, Chris. It's just that which sport wants to be the first to go, you know, and which one for, you know, the test case. And with all the dollars on the line and with where they are in the season, I can see why the NBA would be that test case. But there's a little bit of a risk there, obviously. But as you said, at some point, I mean, you've got to learn to live with this thing, because I don't see it going away from everything you read. It's not going away anytime soon.
And look, the NBA understands the risks here, guys. There's a reason why they sent out a 113-page memo with all of the details, with all of the changes to game day activities. So there is a recognition here. There's been a recognition from the very beginning that this is going to be risky. This is going to be dangerous. But at the same time, you feel like the protocols that you've put in place, the stipulations that you've put in place with how stringent they are, you feel like you're doing the best that you can in what is basically a very, very uncontrollable situation.
We've got Chris Fedor on the line right now on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. I want to talk about Kyrie Irving, because I'm trying to figure out what's going on here. Like, you know, he's on a conference call with his own team, and then, you know, he says, well, you know, I don't know if he's – we don't know the tone in which he said it, but – you know, apparently just talked about, you know, trying to start another league at some point. He's definitely got some issues with the NBA right now. Your thoughts on that and Kyrie Irving? And I'm just, you know, it sounds to me like the teams want to go back and play. We saw the vote from the team representatives that said they wanted to go back and play. And then all of a sudden last week we've got Kyrie, this 80-person conference call, and now a different voice, which is a fraction, which is fractioning the players in what seems to be what they want.
Look, I understand where Kyrie is coming from. Kyrie has been very much a proponent of trying to shine a light on police brutality, racism, all of these different things. This is a real issue. NBA players want to find the right way to go about addressing this particular issue. And I think Kyrie is trying to give guys a voice so that they can speak up and say, hey, this is how it's affected me. This is what I want to do. This is what I'm comfortable with. And Kyrie has always said that he's most comfortable in uncomfortable situations. And not everybody is that same kind of way. So I think he's trying to give a voice to the voiceless. But keep in mind, Kyrie was the one who came up with the Cavs wearing the I Can't Breathe shirts the night that they did a number of years ago. If you remember, LeBron was the one who was asked about that. LeBron, in essence, got a lot of the credit for that, because when you play on a team with LeBron James, that platform to answer those questions and address those issues is going to shift to him, because whether Kyrie liked it or not, more people cared about what LeBron had to say about that than Kyrie. But it bothered him because he came up with the idea and LeBron essentially got the credit. So this is something that Kyrie has been very into for a number of years, and it doesn't surprise me that he's again trying to use his voice. The problem is, I think this can be divisive. Look, he has his views. He's entitled to those views. I'm not going to tell him that he can't have those. But how he's going about it seems a little bit divisive. And it makes me ask, okay, what has changed? Why now? Why 5 days after basically signing off on this sort of thing have you had a turn? And the only thing to me that has changed is that Kyrie was told he can't go to Orlando because of the limitations of the travel party and because, you know, he's not actually going to play for the Brooklyn Nets because he's rehabbing an injury. And to me, that took away a platform for Kyrie to raise more awareness, and he's trying a different platform now. And I don't know that he knows the right one to do it, but he's trying. And I give him a lot of credit because this is an issue that cannot be put to the back burner just because the NBA restarts. But I would say to Kyrie, like, for other people in the NBA that share the same view that you do about racial inequality, they're going to have an opportunity to use their voice. They're going to have an opportunity with all eyes on them to not allow this issue to die down. And for the betterment of the league, playing then, even if Kyrie can't, would be something that needs to be explored.
Chris, I want to go back to that I can't breathe thing that you were just talking about. So it was Kyrie's idea to wear the T-shirts, yep. But are you saying he was mad that he didn't get the credit for saying we should wear these T-shirts when LeBron did? Like, to me, that kind of I'm not saying it defeats the purpose, but the message there was the I can't breathe T-shirt. Did it really matter who got credit for it or who they were asking how they felt about it? I mean, that just seems – if you're going to make a stand about something like that, is it about getting credit for it, or is it about making the statement and trying to make change in society?
It's about both, right? I mean, like, he wanted to be asked the questions about it so that he could use his voice on it. Everybody wants to have a voice. Everybody wants to give their say. And the questions on that night, when that was organized by the team, all the questions went to LeBron. And so you can understand the natural frustration and the human reaction and the human component to that, where you're like, well, wait a minute, like, why can't I have a say on this sort of thing? Why aren't you asking me these types of questions?
I'm just, because every night it seems like, I mean, you were there. Did Kyrie not have did people not talk to Kyrie after the game? Did they not talk
not
to
about
him
those things
before the game? Or he could have just brought it up, though, couldn't he have?
He could have, sure. There's no doubt about
it. Okay.
With all that going, what do you think about actually playing these games? You notice we haven't talked basketball at all? And I don't mean just us. I mean everybody in
right.
this. There's been almost no basketball talk. Do you expect any issues, Chris, with firing up a season after these guys haven't played since early March?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You do? Okay. Like, what in particular? What do you think?
I just think these guys are going to be so out of basketball form. You know what I mean? Like, the playoffs are highly competitive. The intensity ramps up. I think these guys are going to be susceptible to injury because of that, because there's just not a bunch of time in between restarting and getting to the playoffs. You know, 8 seeding games, that's not a lot when you're talking about going into the playoffs. After that, so I think that's something that the NBA has considered, but I think it's just a reality of what they're going to have to deal with here, and I think the style of basketball is probably going to be bad. I mean, you're talking about so much time off, more time off than what these guys are used to. You know, you're probably not going to have teams that are really, really sharp in terms of running their stuff, making a whole bunch of shots. I think three-point shooting teams, the teams that are going to be reliant on those a lot, sorry, Houston, like, they're probably going to be affected because that's such a rhythm type of the game. But if you play defense, if you can muck it up and do it that kind of way, you're probably going to have a better chance. And I think the other teams that are going to be affected are the teams, say Philadelphia, for example. Like, they were a mess when everything stopped. They're going to benefit greatly from time away from each other, right? and all of a sudden Ben Simmons going to get back healthy, Joel Embiid can take this time during the quarantine to just focus on basketball, maybe get himself into better shape and better health. So I think, like, that's a team that's going to benefit greatly from this sort of thing. But I worry about how the basketball is going to look. I just don't think these guys are going to be in great form, the kind of form anyway that we're used to seeing in a playoff series. Everybody gears up for the playoffs. They want to peak at that time. They want to be their best at that time. And they've set their own internal clock so that they are. And that's been taken away from them. So I worry about how the basketball is going to look, because I don't think it's going to be great.
Chris, last question. Tristan Thompson, Cav or not a Cav next season? I know you wrote a little about that.
Yeah, so I mean, I think the chances have increased for a variety of reasons. Two dates I think are going to be really, really meaningful in this. Andre Drummond's opt-in date, which the Cavs are now preparing for October. It was supposed to be like June 29th. That's obviously not the case. It's going to be sometime, I think, maybe even a little bit before October, because it's got to be before free agency. And then the draft on October 15th is going to matter significantly. Like, if the Cavs get Big O from USC, or if they get James Wiseman from Memphis, like, all of a sudden, a crowded front court becomes more crowded, and allocating the kind of resources and money to Tristan Thompson doesn't become as appealing for the Cavs. But I think there's a better chance now, just because there's so much uncertainty with this offseason, and the market is not going to be steamy for Tristan Thompson. The long-term deals that guys were going to get in free agency probably aren't going to happen. The Cavs would like him to stay. People around Tristan Thompson say it's not necessarily that he has played his final game, but there are so many things that both sides have to work out. If you're asking me, will he be here, I still say no, because I think role is going to play a big part in this decision. And the role that the Cavs are offering to him, probably, and the role that another team is going to offer to him, I just don't think it's going to be appealing for him to say yes to.
Chris, thank you very much. We always appreciate your time for joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Of course, we're reading you every day when it comes to the Cavaliers. And always listening to you here, whatever you have to say about any sport. Always appreciate it. He's Chris Fedor, Cleveland.com, Plain Dealer, and, of course, 92.3 The Fan. Talk to you soon.
Thank you, buddy.
See you guys.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.